أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وصحابته الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in this wonderful group, Al-Irshad Al-Ummah, inshallah, today being Saturday, the third day of Sha'ban 1441 AH, which coincides with the 28th of March 2020, inshallah, we are going to proceed with our Qira'atu on Hidayatul Mustafid fi Ahkam al-Tajweed, inshallah. In the last lesson, we talked about the firstly on page 6 of the book. The book is also, the soft copy of the book is sent to the group. So I will request you to kindly open that copy so that you can read along with us, inshallah. If you check there, the firstly is the one we talked about the last time, was firstly fi ahkam al-isti'aza wal basmala. It is a chapter talking about the rules governing saying a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim and bismillahir rahmanir rahim with respect to their arrangements, and we discussed that inshallah. So today we are going to continue inshallah from the next question, which is as-su'al question. إِذَا أَتَى الْقَارِئُ بِالْبَسْمَلَةِ بَيْنَ السُّورَتَيْنِ فَكَمْ وَجْهًا فِيهَا. Now when a reciter meets Bismillah between two surah, so how many ways are there? How many ways can he pronounce it? Now, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in between all surahs in the Holy Quran is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And of course, that goes with an exception to Suratul Bara'ah. So, which means that while reciting the Holy Quran, it is very, very good for us to include Bismillah immediately we finish a surah and we're about to start another surah. And reading in Hafs, actually, see this Tajweed laws, Dama, we talked about it when we said we are going to be discussing Ahkam al-Tajweed with regards to recitation in halves. So reading in halves has just four ways. There are four ways in which you can do it. Out of these four ways, only three is acceptable. However, reading in Warsh, there are five ways. So we are just going to limit ourselves to the ways of Hafsun, which means that we are going to always bring up the Basmala. Bringing up the Basmala in between two surahs while reciting the Quran is the proper thing to do. So the Malam is answering the question here. He said, Jawab, the answer. Fiha arba'atu awjuhin. There are four ways. When you are reciting the Holy Quran, you finish in a surah, you have to bring Bismillah before starting the next surah. And Malam says that there are four ways in which you can do this. And he says, Thalathatu awujuhin ja'izatun. Out of these four ways, three of these ways are okay. Wa wahidun ghayru ja'izin. However, one is not okay, it's not the best. أما الثلاثة الجائزة. As for the three that are okay, فالأول منها قطع الكل. The first of these three is what? قطع الكل, يعني cutting each one of them, saying each one of them independently of the other. والثاني, and then the second one is وصل البسملة في أول سورة, is adding Bismillah, يعني joining it together, reciting Bismillah together with the first verse of the surah. وَالثَّالِثُ, and the third way to do that is وَصْلُ الْكُلِّ, يعني joining it all together, all of it together. وَأَمَّا غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ However, for the one that is not acceptable, فَهُوَ مَا إِذَا وُصِلَ آخِرُ السُّورَةِ It is for a person, we now reach the end of the surah and then decide to join it together بِالْبَسْمَلَةِ وَوُقِفَ Then join it together with Bismillah and then pause. وَبُتُدِعَ بِمَا بَعْدَهَا وَوَجْهُ Yani, the person will recite the ending of the surah and join it together to Bismillah and then keep quiet. Then he will now bring the remaining, the new surah in which is entering. And then, Adam Jawazihi, Annahu Yuhimu, Annal Basmalata, Min Akhiri Surati. You see, the reason why this is not the best is simply because of the fact that it makes it look as if Bismillah is the ending part of the surah you just finished reciting instead of being the beginning part of the surah you are going to recite. Now we are just going to take brief examples inshallah and we are going to move on. So we said that there are four ways and then Malam says three of these ways are good. So we'll take example of the first one. The first example here is Waslul Kulli. Now we assume that someone was reciting Suratul Ikhlas for instance. The ending part of Surah Al-Ikhlas, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ Then he's supposed to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and then continue with Surah Al-Falaqi. So we're talking about that as well. So we said that there are three ways, and out of the three ways, the first one is what? The first one was Waslul kulli, yani joining all together, like this. بعد عوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق. يعني you join it all together. You join it all together. All the three verses together. Or another example. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ يعني joining it all together. So that's the first way. The second way that Malam brings about is cutting it all. Afwan, I think I've changed the tertib according to the arrangement here. The first thing here is qat ul kulli. Yeah. So qat ul kulli is cutting it all together, reciting each one independently. Like walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Or another example. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Now, so this is قَطْعُ الْكُلِّ. Okay, so it's cutting all of it. Then the second one is وَصْلُ الْبَسْمَلَةِ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةٍ So which is the one we are going to bring up now, inshallah, we can take this example. We said, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ So this is the second way in which it could be done, but it's the third now in our example, since we've already given an example for وَصْلُ الْقُلِّ So this way simply means you recite the last verse of the surah and then pause. Then take a deep breath, bring your basmallah and join it together with the first verse of the surah. Like for instance again, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ So this is the third way in which it could be done. So, alhamdulillah. Now, this brings us to the end of this firstly, the firstly fi ahkam al-isti'aza wal basmala. When reciting, when you approach, when you're coming to begin your recitation, you bring your isti'aza, bring your basmala, and bring the first verse of the surah or the verse from which you're intending to start reciting from. And then we say there are four ways in which you can do that. Join it all together, cut it all together, join bismillah wa isti'aza alone, or joining bismillah with the first verse alone. Now, when you're coming to recite, or you're already reciting rather, so you're finishing a surah and you're going to enter a new surah. Now, there are four ways in which that could be done, out of which we said one way is not acceptable. Okay, so now the three ways that are acceptable, the first is cutting it all together. You recite the last verse independently, then pause. You recite bismillah, you pause, then you recite the first verse of the surah you are going to start reciting independently without joining them together. Now, the second way in which that could be done is joining bismillah to the first verse of the surah itself. So you recite the last verse of the other surah independently and pause, then you bring bismillah and then join it together with the first verse of the new surah you are coming to recite. Now, the third way in which that could be done is by joining it all together. You recite the last verse of the surah, you bring the first bismillah, then you bring the first verse of the surah as well. Now, we said that there is generally one way that is not available for us to recite, which is yani joining bismillah to the end verse, to the last verse of the surah, and then bringing up the first verse of the surahs differently. So we'll take an example of that so that we can maybe just bring up an illustration so that we can understand properly why this part is not available for recitation. So it's just like, for instance, now someone is coming to recite the Quran and then he says, "Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahadun bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq." Now we say this part is not acceptable. The reason is because it makes it looks as if, or look as if, the Bismillah is joined to the ending or to the last verse of Bismillah is the last verse of the recitation of the surah you just finished reciting. So we say this is not jaiz, it's not the best, it's not good at all for a person to recite like this. So we have three ways available, inshallah, and then the last way or the fourth way is not available. Now, so the next lesson, inshallah, will be on ahkam nun sakina wa tanween. Now, this inshallah will come up in our next class. But before we proceed into the tajweed proper, like I said in the introductory class, inshallah we might bring up other issues that are not exactly part of the book we are reciting, or the book we are using to learn rather. We can decide to bring up other issues. So now, if you are going to learn tajweed, it is very, very important for us to understand the points of articulation of Arabic alphabets. You know, Arabic alphabets are not like the regular alphabets we have. They are quite difficult to understand, and sometimes some of these alphabets sound quite similar, especially to the non-speaking or let's say the non-Arabians like us. So we might find many times people confusing the pronunciation of several alphabets such as Hamza and ha. Somebody might even confuse the pronunciation of ha and ha, and then ha and a, and all of that. And someone might also confuse the pronunciation of sinun, wasadun, watha, and so some accent, even za. Some people confuse the pronunciation of za and tha and zo, you know, and all of that. There is even da and bo, there is po, there is ta. So all these alphabets usually come as a matter of confusion, especially for non-Arabians like us. So it's very, very important for us to bring up this issue, because nothing changes the meaning of Quran quickly or quicker than, you know, making such mistakes. There are several examples we can bring up on that, but I won't want to dwell into that. We're just going straight to just look briefly into makharij al-huruf. This doesn't usually come very, very like easy, especially when we are learning online like this. Most of the time you want to be sitting in front of the person who you want to learn together with. But for the situation at hand now, I prepared a very short PDF file, which I'm going to be sharing into the group as well. So we can just look through that PDF file. I will add it together to this audio record. So you can kindly open that file and look through together, and then we'll call it a day for today, inshallah. Now, so for the makharij al-huruf, we said makharij al-huruf simply means the place of emission of a letter. You know, when you are going to mention something in Arabic, when you are going to mention something like an alphabet in Arabic, what part of your mouth does that letter come out from? Now, we know that there are different points of articulation. Okay, now these points of articulation are categorized into two, as you can see on the second page of the PDF document you are going to be shared, inshallah. You can see the first point there is the specific point of articulation. Some alphabets come from a specific part in your mouth. Some alphabets come specifically from your tongue or from a specific part on your tongue. Some come from specific parts on your throat. Some come from your lips. Then there are some other kinds of alphabets which do not come specifically from anywhere, but they come from an approximate point. Approximate point. So here we have makharij al-huruf. Our makharij al-huruf divided into two. First of all, we have makharij al-muhakkik, which is the exact one, like from the throat, from the tongue, or from the lips, from the two lips. Some alphabets come from your down lip, some come from your the upper lip, and so on and so forth. Then we have makhrij al-muqaddir, which is more of the approximate point of articulation. Approximate point of articulation. Now, we say this has to do with the empty spaces in our mouth. And basically, let me just end the issue of this makhrij al-muqaddir. Now, this has simply to do with the space, the empty space in your mouth, not exactly a part of your tongue or a part of your mouth or teeth or anywhere. It's just the empty spaces, all other spaces in your mouth. This is makhrij al-muqaddir. And what are sounds come out from these places are the huruf al-mudud. Yani alifun wa wawun wa ya'un. So alif, wawun, and ya are the huruf that we refer to as the huruf that makes elongation sound, especially if there are sukun. Yani, if you have mimun fatha, it is ma. However, if there is an alifun close to that mimun, then it becomes ma. So alifun elongates any alphabet that has a fatha. Wawun elongates any alphabet that has a dhumma. Waya'un elongates any alphabet that has a kisra. Now, if you have all these three elongations, their sounds come from every other part of your mouth. So they come from the makhrij al-muqaddir. Yani, every other part of your mouth, when you open your mouth to say ma, the mimun sound comes from your lips. But the ah that follows comes from the empty space in your mouth. I think it's very necessary for you to practice along, especially if you are not very conversant with this. This is very, very important, actually. This is said to be 70% of tajweed. If you don't understand makharij al-huruf and you know nunu sakina and mimu sakina and the rest of that, it's almost a waste of time. Because you can apply some of these laws. However, your alphabets are not coming forth properly. You will find that your tajweed will be 30%. Ahkam tajweed is 30%. Ahkam. The ahkam is just 30% of tajweed. While makharij al-huruf, aw tahsin al-huruf, mentioning the alphabets properly is 70%. So what I'm trying to say is, agurguje, yani, in summary, we are going to run through this. It's a complicated stuff, but it's very easy. I'm happy all of us were students of language, and we are at least speaking English language here, which we all know is not our mother tongue. So for that, for us to have been able to successfully understand and learn English language, you must have learned some points of articulation already. And I'm sure even in Arabic as well, we might have understood some of these things. But what I'm trying to tell you is that 70% of this course shall be discussed as quickly as we are going to do it right now. So if you go to the third page, You will see that there are 5 points of articulation here. The very first amongst these five is the nose. Now the nose pronounces the humming sound. The humming sound comes up when we're going to talk about issues that have to do with gunna, or nin, mim, and nun al-mushaddad. Like if you want to say amma, amma yatasa'alun, when you say you close your lips, then the remaining humming sound comes out from your nose because your lips is closed. So your nose makes the remaining sound for the gunna. The gunna is nunation. Okay, so the khushu, or the khayshum rather, is the nose. So it pronounces, it makes that sound. Now the jawf, al-jawfu, is the empty space in the mouth, which we have already discussed. We talked about it and we said that it has a lot to do with the huruf al-madud, yani alifun, wawawun, wayawun. Then the third thing is ashaftan, yani it's your lips, your two lips. So the two lips, we said, are responsible for some alphabets such as fa. You have to join your teeth, your upper teeth. You join it together with your lower lip to pronounce fa. You join it together and you blow out fa. Then there is ba, pronounced from your two lips. There is mim, also pronounced from your two lips. And then there is wow, and wow is pronounced by cycling your two lips. You just have to make your lip, your two lip, make a form of circle so that you have wow. Now then the fourth here is the truth, al-halaq. Now the truth is responsible for the alphabets such as most of the vowel sounds, like the hamza, the ha'un, the ha'un, the ainun, the kha'un, and the ghainun. So this comes from different levels as well. Then the tongue is responsible for the pronunciation of all other words. So the first issue here on the fifth page is an explanation more on the parts of the tongue. So the tongue has more parts than is listed here. However, this is just a basic learning. So we have the deepest, or the inner part of the tongue, then there is the middle part, and there is the tip, then there is the sides. So like I said, there are more parts of the tongue than this, but this is just a basic differentiation that differentiates the parts of the tongue into four. And then we can now go further to see or try to understand which alphabets are actually pronounced from which part of the tongue. From the deepest part of the tongue, you have off. Off, it's the end of the tongue. You join it together with the back wall of your throat or your pharynx. I don't even know. You just join it together. You pronounce off, or you pronounce kef from that. Or kef comes a little bit further. Off is deeper. Kef is further. Off is pronounced when you make your tongue look more like a concave. Yani it's bent outwards. Why kef comes in when you raise, it's just like the normal K we pronounce in alphabet, in Arabic, in English. So we have the center of the tongue, the middle part of the tongue. From here you have alphabets such as ta, zo, zo. Although zo makes use of both, it makes use of not using the middle part of your tongue. So we have sinun and we have sodun. Then we have jim from the sides of your tongue, jim. You have ya from the sides of your tongue as well. You have shin from also the sides of your tongue. We have ba, lam, nun, da, ta, tha, th, tha. Then ra is more like from the bottom of your tongue, but it's just included there for illustration purposes. I'm sure we'll practice it more because ra is something to discuss about again. We're going to talk about raw on its own because there are two types of raw found in Tajweed or in recitation of the Holy Quran. Now, we now went further again to differentiate for the alphabets that come from the throat. There are some that come from the lower throat. There are some that come from the middle. Then there are some that come from the upper. So you can see that there. And then at the end, we added a poem written by Al-Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad, dubbed Abu al-Khair or Abu al-Khair, who died in 833 after Hijrah. He was a great scholar of the Holy Quran. a memorizer of the Quran. He memorized the Quran in all the different riwayat. And he did that at a very young age, a very tender age of about 14 or 15. And he was an imam right from when he was 14 years old. So he made this poem to help people who are going to begin the understanding of Makharij al-Huruf. Like we said, Makharij al-Huruf beyond the five we mentioned, and it all depends on the direction from which the scholar who is viewing it is going to view it. How you understand Makharij al-Huruf is very simple. You pronounce that alphabet as if there is a sukun. You don't pronounce it with a sound. Let's say, for instance, now we want to understand where the point of articulation of ha'un is coming from. You pronounce it ha'un without any sound. You pronounce it as if there is a sukun. Then you take note of where it's coming from. Then you now add a hamza in front of that. After pronouncing it with sukun, the next thing you now do, you add a hamza in front. You can give the hamza any wasal. You can make it fatha, you can make it kisra, you can make it dhumma, just to make you understand properly if the origin of that kha'un is actually where you have pinpointed. So we say, we have already pinpointed the upper part of the truth. So you now say, you now see that there is or coming from somewhere else. Then it comes and meets with the kha'un together. Then the next thing you do is you now make a sound after it. Yani, you give the kha'un itself any wasal. Like you can give it a kisra, you can give it a dhumma, so that you will be very, very sure that the articulation point is from that very place you have been pointed. Like you say, ahi, ahi. You now see that after putting a kisra to the kha'un, the point goes beyond there. So you see, it comes from behind. Then the articulation point itself for the kha'un has been pinpointed and has been identified. So we're just going to quickly try to run through this poem so that we can be able to understand that properly. I want, inshallah, that all the members here who are interested in joining this class should please try and participate by practicing this Makharij al-Huruf. I want you to take all the 28 or 29 alphabets of Arabic and please go through it properly and try to see which of these alphabets is giving you a tough time when you are going to pronounce it. If there is any, don't hesitate to let us know so that we can fine tune based on that. You know, we are all here to learn. So I don't want anybody at all to feel anything in his mind, please, thank Allah. If you have any issue, thank Allah, don't feel anything, just let us know so that we can see how we can help ourselves with respect to that. Like we say, this is 70% of tajweed. It's very, 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 very serious. So the ma'alam here is saying, مخارج الحروف سبعة عشرة. The articulation points of the letters are 17. I'm reading from the poem now. It says, according to those who chose it by examination, على الذي يختار من اختبر, يعني people who decide, who chose to examine مخارج الحروف, they have examined it and they said that they are what? 17 in numbers. The حروف, يعني للجوف, rather, للجوف ألف وأختها. For the jawf, lies from the empty spaces of your mouth now, is ألف. ألف وأختها وهي حروف مد للهواء تنتهي. He said there is ألف coming from the empty part of your mouth, and then ألف has two sisters, and he says, and his two sisters, and they are the mad alphabets. The mad alphabet, like we talked about, which is wawun wa ya'un. Mm-hmm. So the next malan says, thumma li aqsal haliqi hamzata hahu. He said, from the lowest part of the truth, from the lowest part of your truth, you have al-hamza and you have ha. Al-hamza and ha is coming from the deepest part of your mouth. And he says, and from its middle, then there is what? Ah and ha. It comes from the middle of your throat. Then from the closest part of your throat to your mouth, you have ghainun and you have kha. And then Malam further mentions the issue of the cough. He said the cough comes from the deepest part of the tongue. The tongue. Now we've left the throat. We're coming towards the tongue now. The tongue, the deepest part of the tongue brings out coughing. Okay. And it says aqsal lisani fawqu thumma al-kafi. You see, the coughing comes from the what? The deepest part of what? The tongue. And then after that, there is calf, which is from the lower part. Yani is closer to the mouth in pronunciation than what? Than the coughing. Then Malan continues, and then he says, and the middle, yani the middle of the tongue, brings out jimun wa shinun wa yaun, wal wastu fa jimun shinun yahu. Yani all these alphabets are coming from where? They're coming from the middle part of your tongue. And then wabodu and bod is what? Yani min khafatihi idhwaliya. And then he says, and the bod from its meaning, yani meaning the tongues. The ya is coming from the tongue's side when it's closed. When you close the sides, the bod, it's coming from the sides of the tongue when it's closed, from the sides, yani from the left or right, you can pronounce your bod from there. And he continues, and then he says, and the lamun, the side of the lam, is coming out from where? It's coming out from the side of the tongue, yani the lowest plus part of the tongue. We're coming outside the mouth until it ends in the tip. Your lamb ends in the tip of your tongue. It starts from the lower part of your tongue and then ends in the tip. And then Malandan says, one nunu, and as for the nun, its tip, meaning from, it's coming from the tip of the tongue, and it is found under the lamun. Yani is closer to the mouth. And the ra'un is close to it, meaning close to the nun. Ra is close to nun. And uses the top, yani in the top of the tongue. Malam now went to hear the announces, as for the ta, wa ta'i, wa dali, wa ta'i, these three alphabets are coming from the tip of the tongue, from the side, and the upper incisor. The upper incisor, the upper teeth, the two or three teeth on the upper part of your jaw. You join it together to pronounce the ta'i and da and then ta. Naam. وعليا الثنايا والصغير متكن. And he said this alphabet actually look like the whistling, because that's where most of the whistle comes from. منه ومن فوق الثنايا السفلى. He says the letters that have inherited characteristics of the whistle are the body, the za, zai, and sinun. And he says that these alphabets are very, very cozy, because, you know, because of its meaning, and because of the fact that you make them from the sound in which, or the parts of your mouth that can also make the whistling. And then there is za, there is tha, and there is tha. He said this, all these are coming from what? The upper two front incisor, from the edges of them. Both and the edges of the two, from the upper incisor and the tongue, and from the inside of the lip as well, you can have what? Fa, from the inside of the lip with the edge of your two top incisor. Like we explained earlier, you have what? You have fa, and using the two lips, you can have wau, you can have ba'u, and you can have mimun. And then Malam now ended his poem by saying, "Wagunnatun." As for gunna, yani the nunation, he says, "Makhrajuha al-jayshumu." Yani its point of articulation is al-jayshum, yani the nasal passage, the nasal passage. So this very good poem tries to summarize everything. So if you want to know Makharij al-Huruf by heart, it's also very good if you can be able to memorize this poem, this short poem, inshallah. And from there, you'll be able to pinpoint every alphabet, and then whenever anybody mentions anything about it will be easier for you to join them in that. Now, so briefly, inshallah, this will be all about Makharij al-Huruf. Next class, inshallah, we shall be going fully into the Ahkam an-Nunus Sakinah. And until then, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us safe, especially in the face of this deadly pandemic that is overwhelming the entire world. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us iman, and grant us patience, and grant us zuhud, and give us the ability to continue with this good work. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina al-Mustafa al-Mujtaba wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.